our Pediatric Cardiology Today. My name is Dr. Robert Pass, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm Professor of Pediatrics at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, where I'm the Chief of Pediatric Cardiology. Thank you for joining me for this 219th episode of the PD Heart Podcast. I hope everybody enjoyed last week's episode on the topic of fetal SVT, as well as postnatal SVT. We spoke with Dr. Thomas Carberry, who's an attending electrophysiologist at DeVos Children's Hospital in Michigan. For those of you with an interest in fetal cardiology or electrophysiology, I'd recommend you take a listen to last week's episode, 218. As I say most weeks, if you'd like to get in touch with me, it's easy to remember my email. It's pdheart@gmail.com. This week, we move on to the world of cardiovascular surgery, as well as a little bit of interventional cath. The title of the work we'll be reviewing is Endocarditis in Bovine Vein Grafts in the Pulmonary Position, Placed Surgically and Percutaneously. The first author of this work is Hossam F. Ahmed, and the senior author is David Morales. And this work comes to us from Cincinnati Children's Medical Center at Cincinnati, Ohio. When we're done reviewing the paper, Dr. Morales has kindly agreed to speak with us about it. Therefore, let's move straight on to the article and then a conversation with Dr. David Morales. This week, we delve into the world of the bovine vein graft for pulmonary valve replacement and its relation to endocarditis. The authors of this work explain that homografts are effective, but they have their own problems, including calcification, stenosis, and of course, availability, particularly small ones. For this reason, in 1999, Medtronic introduced the Contegra conduit, which is a heterologous bovine jugular vein graft with a three-leaflet valve, and the authors explain that its easy availability made it a commonly used prosthesis in very short order. But there have been a troubling number of reports of endocarditis in these, with some reports regarding an incidence rate of endocarditis of about 10%. Around the same time as the introduction of this surgical prosthesis, Bonhoeffer and associates first described the same vein graft in the form of a Melody valve, with the same bovine jugular vein valve inserted inside of a Cheatham Platinum stent, allowing for the first time transcatheter pulmonary valve replacement in a non-invasive manner. The authors then explain that the incidence of infective endocarditis is higher in bovine vein grafts versus other prostheses and may be as high as 9 times more commonly associated with endocarditis. But interestingly, as many of you know, the rates of endocarditis may still be higher in transcatheter valves versus surgically implanted ones, with one report showing a 7% rate of infection in surgically placed valves versus 1 per 100 patient years in those placed in the operating room. With this as a background, the authors state that the aim of this retrospective single-center study was to report the incidence, outcomes, and possible risk factors for endocarditis following transcatheter pulmonary valve replacement and surgical pulmonary valve replacement using a bovine vein graft. Again, this was a retrospective single-center study reviewing all bovine jugular vein pulmonary valve replacements, whether placed in the operating room or cath lab, from March of 2010 till December 31, 2019. For this work, endocarditis was defined as a positive culture plus vegetation seen on echo, or a sudden increase in the peak gradient across the valve, or finally, vegetations confirmed on the valve at the time of replacement. The authors looked at the patient dental histories and also tracked whether they received SBE prophylaxis appropriately. For this work, poor dental hygiene was defined as, first, dental procedures without SBE prophylaxis, or one or more dental cavities, caries, plaques, as well as a dental abscess. Patient's immunological status was assessed, and if a patient had HIV, inflammatory bowel disease, or DeGeorge syndrome, they were considered immunocompromised. Many details of these patients were recorded and analyzed. And on to the results. There were 170 pulmonary valve replacement procedures performed in 165 patients in the time period, with 107 of these being transcatheter and 63 surgical. The median age was 13 years and weighed 47 kilograms. The median number of heart surgeries prior to pulmonary valve replacement was 2 amongst the entire group, and perhaps not surprisingly, tetralogy of Fallot was the most common congenital heart lesion in a bit over 50% of the cases. 7%, or 12 of the 170 pulmonary valve replacement procedures, were complicated by endocarditis, with 10 in the catheter group and 2 in the surgical cohort, at a median time from valve placement of 38 months. The incidence of endocarditis was 3 per 100 patient years in the catheter group and 1 per 100 patient years in the surgical group, but this difference was not statistically different. The team in Cincinnati treated this with surgical removal and replacement in 10 of 12 cases. 9 of the 12 endocarditis patients had poor dental hygiene, and interestingly, 9 of the 22 patients, or 41% of the entire cohort who had bad dental hygiene, got endocarditis, versus only 2% of those who had good dental health. A multivariate Cox regression analysis showed that only poor dental hygiene was associated with endocarditis, with a hazard ratio of nearly 17. Additionally, Kaplan-Meier curves also showed a significant difference in freedom from infective endocarditis between patients with poor and appropriate dental hygiene. Importantly, size of the valve, age, sex, and pre-procedural gradient were the same in the endocarditis versus the no endocarditis group. Similarly, presence of genetic abnormalities or lack of anticoagulant use was not associated with the development of endocarditis. In their discussion, the authors state, and I quote, "The current study showed a 7% incidence of infective endocarditis in patients who underwent bovine jugular vein pulmonary valve replacement at a median follow-up of 29 months. Regarding mode of placement, 9.3% of transcatheter pulmonary valve replacement and 3.2% of surgical placement conduits developed endocarditis, or 3 per 100 patient years and 1 per 100 patient years in the catheter and surgical groups, respectively. However, in the current analysis, the cohorts receiving transcatheter and surgical valves are so disparate in size, age, etc., that a fair comparison cannot be done, which is why we have not focused on this difference." They explain how some of the other factors associated with endocarditis with bovine jugular vein grafts in the pulmonary position, like size or gradient or the use of anticoagulation, have been shown to be associated with endocarditis in other works, but in this work, only the dental hygiene of the patient was associated with endocarditis. They comment on how well their patients with endocarditis did, and suggest that surgery is likely the preferred approach for endocarditis in an infective bovine jugular vein graft in the pulmonary position, and that this worked well in their experience, as well as in prior works with very low mortality rates. The authors comment on how the infective endocarditis encountered in the cath lab implants seemed to be a bit earlier than the surgical ones, though these differences were not statistically significant. They also mention their current institutional policy of recommending dental visits prior to surgery within 6 months of surgery for anyone over a year of age, and if a procedure is needed on the teeth, it should be done a minimum of 7 days prior to surgery, and how they give perioperative IV antibiotics prior to incision and redose every 3 hours in the operating room, followed by 48 hours postoperatively. The authors mention the limitations of a single-institution retrospective study and bemoan the lack of long-term outcomes in this cohort, and also speak of how this type of prosthesis with the bovine jugular vein is being less used in the present era with newer valve designs and options. The authors conclude by reviewing the 7% prevalence of infective endocarditis with the use of bovine jugular prostheses for pulmonary valve replacement, and they restate their belief that the threefold difference in rates seen in this work between transcatheter and surgical placement is probably an unfair comparison given the difference in the cohorts in terms of size and follow-up length. They speak of how these data should inform conversations regarding the importance of excellent dental hygiene to prevent endocarditis in congenital heart patients. And they end by explaining that the management of the RV to PA connection and the valve there is a team sport and should be something managed with surgery and cardiology together. And they describe a multidisciplinary approach taken at the Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. Well, this is again perhaps not a high science work, but it is practically quite important in that it revisits this question of the Melody valve and Contegra conduits. I'll be honest in having no love for the Contegra, as it seems to me that in virtually all patients who I've seen who've received this prosthesis, there's a failure of valve function nearly immediately after implantation, and I've wondered if this is because of the absence of a rigid structure around the valve. I do understand the importance of this prosthesis for small children, where there may be no alternatives, but in truth, I am always admittedly a touch disappointed when I hear that one of my patients got one of these rather than a homograft or even a surgical valve. I think clearly one of the most important take-home messages of this work is the absolute critical importance of dental hygiene in the congenital heart patient. This work drives that point home, and it certainly is a good lesson for all congenital heart patients, not just those who are undergoing PVR with a bovine jugular vein. At this point, I think we should move on to our conversation with its senior author, Dr. David Morales. Joining us now to discuss this paper is Dr. David Morales. Dr. Morales is the executive co-director of the Heart Institute, as well as the Division of Cardiothoracic Surgery Director at the University of Cincinnati, Cincinnati Children's Hospital. He is also the James Scott Tweddle Chair of Congenital Heart Surgery. David is a graduate of Yale University School of Medicine, followed by general and CT surgical training at New York Presbyterian Hospital, where I met him many years ago. Following this, he completed congenital heart surgical training at Texas Children's Hospital. Dr. Morales is well known for his pioneering work in heart failure and transplantation, as well as congenital heart surgery and work in tissue engineering. It is indeed a great pleasure and honor to have him join us this week to discuss this week's work. Welcome, David, to the podcast. Well, for the first time in nearly 5 years, I have to apologize, dear listener. As you know, at this point, I would normally proceed with the interview with the author, and Dr. Morales had told me he would be available. But we all know that surgeons can sometimes get really busy and just can't make their appointments, and we just never could find a time in which he wasn't busy. It's, of course, understandable given the changes that have occurred in Cincinnati in the past few months and given the very substantial level of busyness of that program. I was going to ask Dr. Morales about whether they still use Contegra conduits, and if so, when. I also wanted to ask him if he felt that surgery did in fact confer a lower risk for endocarditis, even though this was a somewhat unfair comparison in this particular work, and if he thought it was a lower risk, why is that? I also wanted to ask him how difficult it was to explant a melody or transcatheter valve. Alas, these questions will need to wait for another day. I may still hear back from David, and if he's able, I will record and re-edit this episode and probably re-release it. However, for now, given that it's late on a Thursday evening and I've not yet been able to hear from David, I'd rather not have a week pass without an episode. And so the episode you're listening to today is in fact the first since that very first episode to have no guest. Next week I'll endeavor to get us back on track with a new episode with a new guest. And again, if I'm able to find Dr. Morales, I'll let you all know. Thanks so much for listening. To conclude this 219th episode of PD Heart, we hear the up-and-coming Mexican-Lebanese soprano Marlon Najas, who recently completed the prestigious Kafritz Young Artists Program with the Washington National Opera. She will debut this coming season with the Virginia Opera in La Boheme, and clearly has a wonderful career ahead of her. Today we hear her sing the Jewel Song from Gounod's opera Faust. Thank you for joining us for the 219th episode, and thanks once again to Dr. Morales. I hope everyone has a wonderful week ahead.
Toi. Margarete, est-ce toi, Ribeauvoir, Ribeauvoir?